I'm going to go ahead and read Luke 3, 7 through 18. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." In our reading this morning, John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness beyond the Jordan. And people are coming to him out of the land of Israel, the promised land where God once led the Jewish people for 40 years in the desert, as a pillar of smoke by day and of fire by night. The wilderness beyond the Jordan is an empty and forgotten place where God took Israel after freeing them from Egypt. It's a place where God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, where he gave the law from Mount Sinai. This is a land of encounter with God, a place of liberation. Yet when Israel roamed in these deserted places, they still weren't quite free. They were waiting to enter the promised land. But first they had to be purified and prepared to enter into the fullness of God's covenant. The wilderness beyond the Jordan is a place of preparation, of waiting, expectation. It's a place where the escape from oppression morphs into a call to transformation. It's a place where God calls us to become holy, set apart for his purpose, his mission. And this is where John meets Israel. He's waiting for them in the desert. He meets the part of Israel that's fleeing the new Egypt, this present generation's captivity. Those who reject a state of political bondage under Roman occupation, who reject subordination to a foreign empire, and a life under compromised rulers and corrupt religious institutions. For those who flock to John, there's a burning hope. Could God be drawing his people once more out into the wilderness? Could it be time to claim the promised land again? They're hoping that John is the new Moses, a savior, a prophet, a man of God who can lead them, a man who can mediate God's will for them, a leader who will restore the fortunes of Israel. And when they come to him, full of questioning hope. John's response is perhaps surprising. If anyone came out expecting to be welcomed or encouraged by John, they were disappointed. His words to the burgeoning crowds were more or less, "Who said you were invited to the party?" It says, John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." "You poisonous snakes. The axe is lying at the root of the trees. Big winds are coming, and nothing that isn't firmly rooted in the bedrock of God's life and power simply isn't going to make it." This was no doubt a disturbing message for his hearers then, and it should remain so for us now. We can't expect to meet God and stay the same. Either we'll be transformed by the great wind of God's presence, or we'll be uprooted by the storm. And hearing this message from John, the crowds ask him, "What then should we do?" And by the way, just parenthetically, I think this is worth noting. The crowds ask John, "What then should we do?" in Luke. And then in Acts, which is also written by Luke, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, everyone who witnessed the transforming effect that the Holy Spirit had asked Peter, "What then should we do?" So this question comes up again in the new covenant. But in the context of the old covenant, in the context of John the Baptist, they say, "What then should we do?" And John says, well, his answer is surprising to me, because I would expect John to give a big program. But he doesn't promise a political or religious reformation. He doesn't promise anything, as far as I can tell. Nothing that comes from him or his own leadership. Instead, he urges each individual to prepare themselves, to change their lives, to reorient themselves, to repent. John's message is, if you've ever seen Bill and Ted's Big Adventure, in the words of Bill and Ted, John's message, be excellent to each other. If you've got extra food or clothes, share them. If you've got a position of trust, be trustworthy. If you have a position of power, don't abuse it. Be excellent to each other. Care for one another, not just in words, but in your actions. And it says that in response to John's words, his hearers were filled with a sense of expectation. Could this be the Messiah that we've been waiting for? Could he be the one? I recently showed my son George a meme off the internet, and he really liked it. It's an image of an owl, and the owl says, "Ha ha ha," and it says, "No." And that's basically John's response. Could you be the Messiah? Ha ha ha. No. No. John's here to baptize you with water. John's bringing the simple things, the things you already knew that you should do, but didn't. My wife, Faith, always tells me, drink more water. I know I should, but then I don't. John's ministry is about drinking more water. Drink it all down. Be immersed in it. Be excellent to one another. Share, protect, serve, love, Do the simple things before aspiring to the big things. Purify your own heart before thinking to purify others. John's ministry is about preparation, attending to the basic before the advanced comes. But a big day is coming. The days of John are the days of water, but the days of fire are on the way. The messenger who prepares the way is here, but the Messiah is coming, and he will gather the grain and burn the chaff. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it says that this message that John proclaimed is good news. Does it sound like good news to you? Are you waiting for it? Living in expectation of it? Attending to it in your thoughts, words, and actions? Are you drinking the water? Purifying your heart? When the baptism of fire comes, will you have prepared? Will you have been prepared by the baptism of water? The baptism of simple things? Sharing what you have, living in honesty and integrity, using your position to serve and protect those around you. Those who are faithful with a little will be entrusted with much. But if we won't even be faithful with the little baptism that's been given to us, what do we imagine will happen when the greater baptism comes? Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have George Fox as our ancestor. For John the Baptist tells us, God is perfectly capable of raising up another people who will be faithful if we refuse to be. The axe is lying at the root of the trees. So what should we do? That's the question that John's hearers asked themselves and asked him. What should we do? But we already know, don't we? The prophets of every age have told us, in the words of the prophet Micah, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.